Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So excited to be back for another week of Health Talk Radio. This is Donald Snowden, your steadfast health advocate. But super excited to be here, super excited to be able to join you again and just knowledge and create a conversation, just create something different than what we've been used to and really get in and, just have a discussion. You know, we don't tend to be able to have these type discussions every week or even every month. And so, you know, we're just changing the narrative and just really trying to make things such that we see things differently. We pay attention differently because health is one of those things that has eluded us more and more over the years. And through that process, we as a nation have been getting sicker and sicker. And when you think about it, we spend more money on healthcare than all 200 nations combined. And so I tend to look at, is it the people that are just sick or country that's making the people sick? And really what I go back to a lot of times is kind of common sense. And if you take, for instance, heart disease, which is the number one killer in America, that's America. You take obesity, which 40% of Americans are obese. We're number one for that. Okay? And diabetes or blood sugar imbalances, 1 in 3 Americans are diabetic or pre-diabetic. So what does that all mean? You know, we have technology. We have a lot of different types of tests and scans. We do all these races and runs and walks with charities and research and all of these different things to make us healthier. But over the years, it seems like we've been getting worse because with those things I just mentioned, with a country such as this, with again, the advances in technology and all the things that we know, those numbers should be going down. The other thing I look at is most of us aren't American. We settled here, and I don't mean unpatriotic and all of that non-American. I mean that this country was not inhabited by us mostly. There were Native Americans here at first. And so we've come to this country however we got here or bought here or whatever. But if we all went back to our homes, our homelands aren't number one in obesity. Our homelands aren't number one in heart disease. So it's got to be what the people are doing because our native people don't suffer from those things. And then that's what made me really start to pay attention to, okay, what's up? And it's kind of one of the things that has started since pregnancy. And last week we did a great, great show on, you know, pregnancy and birth defects and how to prepare for pregnancy and making sure that you're getting all the nutrients and vitamins and all the things that you need during pregnancy. And so I started looking at further, and I had a friend call me or text me after the show last week and said, man, what a great show. But I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about shots and vaccines and all of those things and how they affect the children today. And so I love research. I love doing research. I love learning. And so this week I had the great opportunity to really kind of delve into that a little bit. And also some things when I looked at pregnancy, some facts of pregnancy that a lot of us don't know. The OBGYN doesn't tell us, and just things that we do and things that we see day to day, we don't really pay attention to just because it's become the status quo. Bad health has become the status quo, simply meaning that, you know, we can be unhealthy and it's almost understood. And the more we try to stay healthy or get healthy, it seems like things get in our way. And then we get to a point where we say, well, man, I've tried everything, but health just seems to elude me. And with so many things and so many people trying to live their passion and live their dreams, the last thing you need to get in your way is your health. And that's one of the things that we show up here every week and talk about in some way, shape, or form, and create a conversation, create a dialogue. And that's why I always say, if there's something that you want me to share or something that you want me to talk about, this topic, a topic, it's for us. This is for us, for sure. Just to educate us and to help us make a better rational decision about the things that we do in life. And the platform that we have has been amazing. The growth that we've had has been amazing. And, you know, we just finished up a detox team. We do a 30-day detox with a different group every month. And we started that consistently back in November. When I started, we had a large group, a good group, about 10 or 12 of us. And I said that's large because, you know, for everybody to get results is important. And that's the only way that you can share a testimony. That's the only way that this has grown to this point. And so we've done one every month. And you have people losing anywhere from 10 to 25 pounds on a detox without exercise. Detox, the first day of your detox is just setting your body up, getting it prepped. The second day is your bathroom day where you're excreting stones. And this is a liver detox. So there's so many stones in your liver. And a lot of those stones can get over into your gallbladder. And once those stones get into your gallbladder, they can calcify. And then you have gallstones. And then your gallbladder can become non-functional or not functioning at its highest and best use. And then what will happen is the doctor will pull out your gallbladder. And people who I've known, you know, I say, well, they tell me they don't have a gallbladder. And I say, well, what did the doctor do about your liver? And they say nothing. And I'm like, well, it's kind of strange because the gallbladder is connected to the liver by a common bile duct. And so the stones, once the liver is so toxic, the stones can flow over into the liver and start the stones can flow from the liver, over to the gallbladder and start to cause that to be toxic. And so a lot of our health issues come from just the fact of toxic, our livers being toxic, because everything has to be filtered through the liver. The blood, everything in the blood filters through the liver. And in that particular position, you try things, we do things. Not only that, we put things on our skin that's toxic. Anything you put on your skin absorbs in your bloodstream within 26 seconds. So now you've got toxins in your body. Breathing the environment, the chemtrails, the sprays, the greenhouse gases, all the things in the environment make our liver toxic, plus the things that we eat. We drive our cars, and every 3,000 to 5,000 miles or 7,000 miles, depending on what kind of car you have, you get your oil changed and you get your oil filter changed. But we don't do it for our bodies. And our bodies are as susceptible to harmful toxins and harmful things in the environment as our vehicles are. So that detox has been amazing, and we've had so many great testimonies, so many people just getting off medication, losing weight, feeling better, sleeping better. I mean, it's just amazing when you reset your body and build your immune system. And so this week's topic that I wanted to get a little bit more into, and this is why everything goes back to getting your body back to ground zero. There are so many people that would tell you to try this. Oh, go do that. Oh, go drink this cocktail. Go do that. But nobody really has a conversation with you about building your immune system, about getting your body back to ground zero, and then building from there. And it works so much efficiently, so much more efficiently when you do it that way. So one of the things that I like to talk about today is piggybacking off of pregnancy. And I want to start out with a few little fun facts or facts about pregnancy that a lot of us might not have realized. And it was cool for me to stumble across a video that was on George Takei's page. And it talked about some pregnancy facts. And after fertilization of an egg or an embryo, it floats around into the womb. It floats around the womb until it attaches to a uterine wall. And, you know, you automatically think that there's an egg and it's just sitting somewhere and then a sperm will go fertilize it. But it actually floats around and finds a place to go. And sometimes you've heard of ectopic pregnancies, and that's where that will float into the fallopian tubes and can be very, very dangerous and even life-threatening for a mother who has an ectopic pregnancy. And that's where that egg is just floated into the fallopian tubes, and it didn't attach to the uterine wall. Another thing that was interesting to me is the uterine wall and the placenta are only separated by a layer of one cell thick. And to know what a cell, how thick a cell is, if you took a piece of paper and turned it on its side, a cell is thinner than that. You look at a straight edge of a piece of paper, and you take a cell, and a cell is thinner than that, and that's all that the uterine wall and placenta are separated by. And I just thought that that was amazing, because that what we call membrane rupturing or water breaking to allow that fluid to come out at the time of pregnancy, that something that thin is that strong. I mean, creation is an amazing thing. The Creator is an amazing, amazing spiritual marvel that you can't ever just wrap your head around all the things that happen when life is being created. Another thing is, at 6 weeks, the heart starts to pump blood at about 160 beats per minute. And that is extremely fast. I mean, granted, it's such a small little embryo, but at 6 weeks, you have life. And the reason why I bring that up is because a lot of times women don't find out pregnant until they've missed a cycle. Or, you know, and about 6 weeks when a woman finds out they're pregnant. So you've had, if you have not properly prepared your body for pregnancy, meaning taking the necessary vitamins and minerals, meaning cutting some bad foods out of your diet and really harnessing your health, because most of the pregnancies that we have are not planned. They just come through having fun. And, you know, somebody realizes, oh, man, I don't have a cycle. I haven't had a cycle, or I feel a certain way. And then you go and look it up, and you say, well, and what I mean by look it up, you go to the doctors, and they run tests and different things, and they say, oh, wow, you're pregnant. And sometimes you're 7 weeks, you're 8 weeks. And so just think about this baby with a beating heart at 6 weeks, beating at 160 beats a minute, and doesn't have any nutrition whatsoever. Doesn't have any of the bodybuilding formula besides what the mother has, and the mother's body has not been properly prepared. That's going to become an issue. And that's what we talked about last week, which I'm not going to get really into, but that's how a lot of birth defects start. Things like Down syndrome can happen very early in the pregnancy, third and fourth week. Cleft palate. A lot of those things that are not, you know, you find out once the child is born. My son, you know, being born with three fingers on his left hand, you know, that happened about the second month, third week or so of pregnancy. And so when you look at those things, it is really, really interesting. And us as parents, we want to do everything we can do to protect our children. But the best thing that we can do is protect ourselves and make sure our bodies are always ready. And so you stay ready, so you don't have to get ready. Another thing, the 16th week of pregnancy, a baby can hear their mother eating and chewing and breathing and talking, exercising, hear her heartbeat. And that's when you can tell, you know, babies become soothed at certain times when a mother eats something that's not conducive to the child. You can go crazy if they eat too much sugar. The child starts kicking around. And so not only can they get that through the blood and umbilical cord and all of that, but they also can hear, and they also can start to make, and that's why they say it's important to read to the baby, so you can start to soothe them and start to give them language and those particular things that you do. Also, loud noises, extremely loud noises, can damage baby's hearing. You know, so if you are pregnant and you know, you might work at a construction site, or you may work in a factory or a warehouse, and you work in places where it's extremely loud for periods of time throughout the day, something you might need to revisit, because you don't want to, you know, have a child born, you know, hard of hearing or damage their hearing. Also, they can see at 16 weeks or so, they can see light coming through the womb, which I thought was exciting as well, because You don't really know. You know, they say, well, do they open their eyes? Do they not open their eyes? And, you know, can they see? Can they feel what's going on? We always feel them kicking around, but they can see and see what's going on and see light and dark and differentiate what's going on in the womb on the outside part of the world. And then this really shocked me, but babies drink their own urine starting around week 10. And I'm like, so why would they do that? But babies do urinate in the womb, and they drink that womb, they drink that urine, and then most of the amniotic fluid is urine by week 20. And that was also something that was pretty interesting to me. And so, you know, and then babies, they wait to poop. They wait until they're born to poop. So they don't poop where they live, but they will urinate. And so those are just a few little things that I read up on and saw and thought that was pretty exciting and wanted to share, because those are some things that I truly didn't know about, you know, especially the amniotic fluid and that different kind of stuff. So that was pretty exciting for me. And then also to segue over that, you know, we talk about when a child is getting to where they're born, and there's been, you know, back in the day, very few people went to hospitals to have children, you know. So there were midwives. You had them at home. You had them in a bathtub. Even when I look back at a lot of the older pictures and things of children being born, mothers used to squat or be on their knees in a bathtub or something. And so this whole American way of delivering children is kind of put off, because now you're laying flat on your back, which now takes away from gravity. Gravity will help that child come down. And not only that, they'll lay you flat on your back, they'll push your legs all the way up to your face. And then when the baby doesn't come out, then they'll take instruments to try to pull the baby out, to grab their head, which a lot of times can disfigure the baby's head, sometimes can cause damage to the baby's skull. And it's like, why wouldn't you just take the baby or take the mother and have them stand up or have them squat? And so I find that a lot more people are having home pregnancies. They're not having pregnancies in the hospitals. There are still a few, but, you know, I think, too, if people were a little bit more educated about that, they would find that having a baby at home is much safer, especially when you look at the infection rate in hospitals, when you look at C. diff in hospitals, when you look at the lights. I mean, even the lights that's being used, the overhead lights can damage the baby's eyes, because that fluorescent light is not good for your eyes. And so we always think about, oh, well, what if there's a complication, or how's my baby going to get his shots, or how, you know, how is this going to happen, or how is that going to happen? And so we tend to cleave to the hospitals because it's just easier. It just seems to be easier, instead of taking the time to figure out what's the best way to do this, how should I do it? And so definitely, you know, so many people now are looking into having midwives and doctors on standby and having their children at home. Plus, it's cheaper. I mean, it's an arm and a leg to have a child in the hospital. And now what the doctors have started doing is, with any little tiny complication or any little thing, even if it's not a complication, you know, if you had a previous surgery, they'll tell you, oh, well, we need to have a cesarean. And a cesarean is charged differently than a natural pregnancy. A cesarean is charged as a major surgery. So now, instead of them being paid for just a regular childbirth, they're getting paid for major surgery. Also, what happens when you have a cesarean section, from a connection standpoint, is it cuts the child off and the mother's spiritual and that mother tongue communication off, because the mother pushing that child out, the moans, all the things that she goes through, and the pain that's associated with that creates hormones that will help the baby come down. You know, they started giving epidurals to help ease the pain, and that's a lot. You know, and I'm not going to be one to speak on whether you should have or whether you should not. You know, I've never had a child, and I never will, and so I'm not going to speak on pain and thresholds and should you have them, should you not have them. But just speaking from a factual standpoint, that, you know, all of that that the mother goes through is all a part of helping that baby get to life. And then I've even seen, and I want you to go on YouTube. It's called the first crawl or the first feeding. And what they did was they took a baby, and as soon as it came out of the womb, the mom had it naturally, and as soon as it came out of the womb, before they wiped it off, before they did anything, they laid the baby on the mother's stomach. They cut the cord, and you watch that baby crawl, literally, crawl up to the mother to go nurse. And it took the baby a while, but it's a natural thing that a baby will, that mother sends that hormone and says that here is milk. Just like a child, a kid or a goat born in the wild, or a horse or a sheep or any of those type of animals, as soon as they're born, they get a little bit of clean off, and they start going to find milk. And it's the mother producing those hormones. The baby can feel the milk. They can smell the milk, and they just go find it. And they know where food is. And so when you do these cesarean sections and you give certain drugs that get into the bloodstream, it affects that bond that the mother has with that child. You know, it was not too long ago, all children were breastfed because there was no such thing as baby formula yet. And so we look at, you know, a lot of the inventions and things that have come along and how it's amazing that we don't even remember, or we don't even think that at some point in time there were no vaccines. At some point in time there were no formulas or no breast pumps. You know, a lot of the things that we have today that seem to ease pregnancy, but when we look at the health of our children today, it's a lot worse. They're a lot sicker than we were growing up. They were a lot sicker than our grandparents were. Children are getting illnesses and diseases that, I mean, you only thought that your grandparents would get, or, you know, cancer. You know, somebody back in the day might have gotten cancer who was old, and they probably had it for so long but didn't know they had it. It just started affecting them at some point. But now, you know, children are getting cancer. Children are getting type 2 diabetes. Children are battling cholesterol issues, blood sugar imbalances. I mean, we remember a time when food wasn't labeled organic because all of it was organic. You know, so it's just a lot that has changed. And then we look at the shots, the amount of shots that children get. And should you give your children vaccines? And, you know, I'll just give you my transparency on it and how I feel. This is not based on any medical or anything, any research. But when you look at vaccines and you look at how they have been used from the 50s or 60s, I went back to the 50s and 60s, and you got about four vaccines. You got diphtheria, tetanus. Let me look real fast because I got my notes right here. I want to make sure that I'm giving you the right information. Smallpox and polio, you know. And so there was about four vaccines that you would get back then. And now they've, you know, you got the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella. You got the tetanus. I mean, there's so many vaccines now from the 50s up until now. And so you say, well, these vaccines are supposed to be little doses of this particular disease that they're going to give you so your body can build up antibodies. But because so many children and so many parents have nutrition in the sense of good nutrition, that the immune systems of the parents and the immune systems of the children are already in jeopardy when they're born. And so then you start to add in these shots over a period of time, and the body can't process that the right way because the immune system isn't strong enough to build the antibodies to process it. So then we start to get those particular diseases, or we start to have different cases of those diseases. And I know several friends and people who have children who have never had vaccines, and those children are just as healthy as any child that did. And so it's a fight. And then we talk about, well, does the level of mercury and does the level of lead and all some of the things that are in these vaccines bother children as far as autism goes? And there is a documentary that I would encourage you all to check out. It's called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. And it's a wonderful documentary for knowledge purposes, but what it kind of breaks down is this is a doctor from the CDC, and he's blowing the whistle on the CDC, stating how they cooked the books and changed the numbers and influenced the numbers when it comes to the issues or the side effects of vaccines. And so basically they had all of these studies, they had all of these problems, and they saw that vaccines were causing a problem, but because the CDC and the FDA and all of them didn't want to change that and wanted to continue to make the money from that, they basically skewed the numbers so that it seemed safe. And when we look at, you know, does it cause autism, does it not cause autism, the way we look at autism is that most of the time it's a brain development issue. And why is it because of that? Does the vaccine affect that? Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But what I do know is that when a child is born and either drinking mother's milk or they're taking formula, and formula only has 20% of the nutrition that a child needs. Food Chemistry did a big study on the three baby formulas, Similac, Gerber, and Enfamil. And what they found out was that those baby formulas only had 20% of the nutrition that a child needs. They also did animal food for comparison. So puppy food has 100% of the nutrition a puppy needs. Kitten food has 100% of the nutrition that a kitten needs. Bird food has 100% nutrition that a bird needs. But when we get to baby formulas in human children, it's only 20%. And then the mother's milk is only as good as the amount of nutrition she has in her body. Even when you talk about her going through pregnancy and all the cravings that she has, those cravings come from nutrient deficiencies. The body is asking for nutrition, but it can't say that I need vitamin B12 or I need vitamin B6 or I need more folic acid. It can't say those things. But what it can say is that I'm hungry. And based on what those particular cravings are, is what nutrient choice you'll have. And what I mean by that is you crave fried foods, you're deficient in omega-3, 6s, and 9s. If you have really, really dry skin during your pregnancy, you're deficient in omega-3, 6s, and 9s. And I'm saying that in the proper ratios, because some will take a fish oil tablet, but you're not getting your 6, you're not getting your 9. So you look at your borage oil, your flaxseed oil, your fish oil, and you look at that as a group, and you take those as a group. And so that way you're getting the proper the balance of omega-3, 6s, and 9s. If you crave sugar, you're deficient in chromium and vanadium, and then there are about 23 other cofactors that go with making that work. And so your body can't say, I need more of that. It just says, I'm hungry. I want something sweet. And so you crave ice cream, and you crave cookies, and you crave these sugary things, because the body's deficient. The baby's taken all of what you had from you, and now you have nothing. And then so you eat these particular foods looking for these nutrients, and the problem is there are no nutrients in those type of foods. And so the child then is born, and they're drinking from your milk with very little nutrition. And pretty much after that, they get weaned off of the milk, and they start eating solid food. And the solid food consists of French toast sticks and Eggo waffles and syrup and McDonald's French fries and fried chicken bones and just so many different things that aren't healthy, that don't have any nutrition. And so by the time a child is 2 years old, they haven't had good DHA, they haven't had good EFAs, and that's essential fats, or the DHAs, which is good for brain development. Children haven't had that. And so their minds haven't developed, their brains haven't developed. And that's when they start to disconnect, and it just gets worse and worse over time. So there could be effect from the vaccine, but we know nutritionally there is an effect. And that same effect that happens in children is autism. When it happens in adults, is dementia or Alzheimer's. So that system will repeat itself. So you may have started off okay, but then if you go through life and you don't keep up with your proper nutrition and the things that the body needs, then that becomes a problem as well. And when we talk about Alzheimer's and autism and all of those things, it's about good, healthy cholesterol. It's about taking the good EFAs. It's about making sure you're eating your eggs. So so you can get that good protein, you can get that good cholesterol, and that, all that's good for brain development. Because the brain, the myelin, the white matter of the brain, is 100%, or I'm sorry, it's 75% by weight cholesterol. Hormones, that's your progesterone, your estrogen, your testosterone, that's 100% by weight cholesterol. You know, so when you have these cholesterol related issues, also we talk about the liver. The cholesterol is produced in the liver. You have 80% of your body making the cholesterol that you need. Cholesterol has to flow through the liver. The cholesterol going into the liver is called good cholesterol. The cholesterol that's leaving the liver is called bad cholesterol. And neither one of it is a measure of cholesterol. HDL, LDL, those are proteins that carry cholesterol. That's not a number. So even when they give us the numbers about cholesterol and how it works, that's not even correct. We need to have a good level of cholesterol. It's not who can have the lowest level of cholesterol, because most of your people, if you look at the people who have Alzheimer's, who have dementia, who have hormone problems, who have estrogen-induced cancer, breast cancer, and those particular things, you'll find that their hormones are extremely off, and their cholesterol, the doctor will say your cholesterol is good. And it, when they say your cholesterol is good, 9 times out of 10, it's probably too low. And then we get through life as a child, back to that, and we start talking about, you know, these different types of flu shots. Continue to build the immune system. You don't need a flu shot. It's amazing. You drive around and you see stores and drug stores and all of these places that have these flu shots. I mean, grocery stores, you can get a flu shot. You can go to Giant, anywhere with a pharmacy, and get a flu shot. You can't even buy a good piece of meat in a grocery store, but yet they'll give you a flu shot. I mean, I just don't really understand that. And they so readily ready to give it away. And then you find that once you get the flu, oh, well, that flu shot didn't cover that particular strain of the flu because it's a different strain. And it takes 2 years for them to develop a flu shot. Because they have to go back and they have to do all the research. They have to figure out what flu and what strain did people get. So if people get the flu this year, they have to figure out what strain you got. They got to break it down. Not only do they have to produce the drug, then they have to put it through patent, or they have to put it through trials and testing. Then it has to be approved by the FDA. That's a 2-year process. So by the time you get to next year, that drug that was supposed to fix the flu and back in 2016 or 2017 is just coming out. So you'll never be able to keep up. And people take the flu shot and they get sick. Some people take the flu shot and they just, you know, they can make it. But especially you have to be very cognizant of that, because let's look at it. Even if you got the flu, a healthy person, and this is why it's always good to be healthy, just always pay attention to your health, because it doesn't mean that you're not going to get things. What it does mean, though, is how fast you're going to recover from those things. And the flu, really, the fever and muscle aches, really only last about 2 to 4 days. And then the tiredness and the coughing, and a lot of times can last about 1 to 2 weeks. So you say 7 to 10 days for a healthy person, the flu will run its course. Well, you take somebody with a taxed immune system and they get the flu, it can kill them. Same way if you take somebody who has a taxed immune system and you give the flu shot, it can kill them, because you're giving them a strain of something that's going to harm them that their body has to build up antibodies for. And they're so ready to give everybody the same shot instead of asking and doing the groundwork to say, what does your immune system look like? Let's test that. And based on that, we'll determine whether or not you get a flu shot. If you know you have some illnesses and you have a taxed immune system, why would you add one more thing to it that's going to tax it? Why wouldn't you beef up on your vitamin C and take your 90 essential nutrients and take your selenium and take things that protect your body from those type of things, or helps your body recover faster when you get those type of things? That's the way that you do it. Getting a shot of something that's already going to hinder already hindered system, it just doesn't work well. And Tamiflu, especially in kids, and that's the flu shot that you hear about for children. I've seen so many cases already this year of children getting rashes all over their bodies, hives all over their bodies. It can affect their joints. They can have trouble walking or standing. The side effects of that are nausea and vomiting and diarrhea, dizziness, headaches, nosebleeds, and eye redness, and sleep problems, all from a vaccine that's supposed to help you not get the flu, or help you if you have the flu, but then you get all the symptoms of the flu from the vaccine. If you look up Tamiflu and you look up the side effects, and then you take a flu and you look up the symptoms from a flu, it's pretty much the same. Why? Because they're giving you a dose of the flu. So why not avoid all of that, continue to build your system, and continue to take the nutrients that the body needs to stay healthy? Because for our children, we should be able to bend over backwards for our children. We do it when it comes to somebody harming them. We do it when it comes to their schooling. We do it when it comes to maybe some activity they want to do or some toy they want. And we work all year as hard as we can and line up for Black Friday and try to get everything we can get them, all the things that they ask for, because they've been good throughout the year. But yet and still, we say if anybody does anything to our children, we'll do something to them, or my children deserve the best, or they deserve everything. But that's all the way up until the point of their health. And then you go and you look in the refrigerator and you see the things that they get to eat every day. Or they go to school and they eat school food and you get to see the things they get to eat every day. Really and truly, health, if you could spend dollars a day on your health, you could have very, very good health. Very good health. $5 to $8 a day. That's a value meal. That's a cup of coffee. That's going to Chipotle. That's, you can find $5 to $8 just laying on the ground. And so that's one of the things that we really have to harness, is just the sense of, don't look at it as, why is this cucumber $4? Why is this cucumber $2, but the other one is 99 cents? You know, we have to stop looking at things like that. We got to look at it as our children, just like we have to look at it if it was our car. You know, some people don't put aftermarket parts on their car, but they'll put aftermarket food in their body, which is processed food instead of real food. So don't ever treat an instrument better than you treat yourself or your children. And it's not very expensive to maintain health once you start with it, but it's very expensive to have to fight health once it comes along, because now not only do you have the health issue, but you have the prescription. You have the insurance might pay for the prescription. You got a copay to go to the doctor, so they may pay for the doctor visit. But now you miss time from work. Now your child is sick. Now you got more trips to the ER. You got more trips to the doctor. You got more trips to the hospital. Whatever the case may be, you got gas being spent out of your car. You got to buy certain food. You got to do all of these things to try to get health back instead of just doing a little bit extra to maintain it day in and day out. And then we have big things coming up like the norovirus. And the norovirus is super, super contagious. And, excuse me, if you've been watching if you heard about the Olympics, all of these security guards, I learned this today when I was looking up and doing a little research, a lot of these security team people over there at the Olympics have been affected with this norovirus. Now, one of the things about it, it's a virus. So there's really no prescription for a virus. It just has to kind of run its course. But also, when you look at so many people, even in the United States, that are contracting this norovirus, it comes from a breakdown in the immune system. And it's a super contagious virus, and you can spread it through water, express through foods that's contaminated with infected feces. So that means you go to these restaurants and people aren't washing their hands, or you aren't washing your hands, the children aren't washing their hands. You know, that stuff is extremely important, especially during this time of year. And it's easy to spread in crowded and enclosed spaces, in homes and schools and arenas and hospitals and cruise ships. It's very easy to spread once it gets out. And so this is another reason why we all have to, most of us, have to be around large groups of people every day, whether we're going to work, whether we're picking our children up from school, depending on our occupation. We have to be around people and different types of people. Sometimes it's the same coworkers, but sometimes it's different people every couple hours. And so if you're not staying up on your health and staying up on your immune system, things will become, things like this will affect you in worst cases, can take your life. I mean, you get symptoms like vomiting and diarrhea and stomach pain, like severe stomach pain, headaches, body aches, fever, dehydration. And the other part about it is, and so then we start, or mimics a really, really bad cold. So then we start adding things like over-the-counter drugs, which suppress the immune system. And when you suppress the immune system, now it can't fight till its full effectiveness. And so, you know, one of the things that we have to be sure to do is to wash our hands and to make sure that our children understand the importance of that. But also, be careful when you go eat out. You know, ask the questions. Look at the sanitation grades at your restaurants and establishments if you can, because all that matters. Try to prepare your children's food at home in a safe environment as opposed to, you know, school lunch where you got cafeteria workers coming in and they feeding hundreds of kids that's got colds and sneezing and coughing. I mean, you know, there's so many different ways that we can help to curb a lot of the sicknesses and illnesses that are infecting us and affecting us. And, you know, it seems like, you know, as the years go on, we get more and more unhealthier as a nation, as a group of people. And we really have to start to fight that. We really have to start to combat that, because there's no substitute for good nutrition and good health. And, you know, people, you know, say, well, I eat well. I eat good. And that's wonderful. And the issue with eating good is that food only has so much nutrition. When you ate a salad today, you ate good. Very good. Ate some zucchini and squash and sweet potatoes and eggplant and green beans and butternut squash. You ate very good. That was very good eating. It tastes good. The body recognizes it. It can do something with it. It's not processed. But how many nutrients did you get out of it? That's the question that we can't answer, because our soils are so depleted of nutrients. Most farming is mass production farming. Most farming is done in soil that has no nutrition, that has no minerals in the soil. If there's no minerals in the soil, it can't be in the food. And if it's not in the food, then it's not in our bodies. So you ate this organic salad. And organic doesn't mean it has more nutrition. Organic just means that it was grown with very little to no pesticides or herbicides or fungicides put on the plants. But it was still grown in the same three minerals that the unorganic stuff was grown in. Because minerals don't occur in the soil like a blanket. If you had a backyard and you planted tomatoes in your whole backyard, some tomatoes will have a little bit more minerals in them. Some tomatoes will have less. It's not a blanket. It's like veins. Minerals grow in veins or in veins in the soil, in the earth. And so when you have that, you don't know how much you got. But it only takes three minerals to grow a plant. That's phosphorus, potassium, and nitrogen. Our body needs 60 minerals every day. So we eat the best salad in the world. We got three minerals. And we're still 57 short. You look at people like Steve Jobs, who was vegan, unsupplemented vegan. He didn't supplement. He had a 5-star vegan chef. He had somebody who cooked his meals for him. And at 58 years old, he gets pancreatic cancer. And when we think about being vegan or vegetarian, we think about people being much healthier when we think about it. But in reality, that's not always the case. And it's not that people who eat meat are healthier. It's not that at all. It's just the fact that they basically pigeonhole themselves to a small area of a diet that doesn't have all the nutrients that their body needs, because they only eat a few things here or there. So, therefore, if you don't get the nutrition in your diet, eating those foods, unless you could eat the ratio that you need of those foods, you're really coming up short. and really eat the amount of food that you need to get all the nutrients, because we just, our bodies can't do that. We're not cows where we can graze all day. So that's why taking a good EFA, essential fatty acid, that's why taking a good mineral complex of amino acids and vitamins and minerals is helpful, because all it does is makes up for what you don't get in your food. And when you take those things, you have to take vitamins and minerals and amino acids. You have to take those things based on body weight. You can't just take it and say, okay, I think that was enough. Like when you buy over-the-counter drug or over-the-counter prescription and it says from 12 years old to an adult, take two. Well, somebody's getting too much, and somebody may not even be getting enough. And so how do you know? You don't. You just hope it works. But if you take it based on body weight, if you take your nutrition based on body weight, then you're assured that you're going to get all the nutrients that your body needs. And when you do that, the body responds. The body wants to heal itself. You don't have to cure anything. You don't have to create some miracle pill to change it overnight. You just give the body the raw material, and it will heal itself. Plus, your subconscious mind is amazing. And in your subconscious mind, whatever you tell yourself, the subconscious mind can't differentiate one way or the other. So if you tell yourself, man, I'm always sick, your subconscious mind will say, okay, we will do all the things we need to do to keep you in a sick state. That's why sick people who claim they're sick stay sick. And healthy people that get sick get back healthy. Because you ask a healthy person, man, how you doing today? Man, I got this little cold, but it'll be gone today or tomorrow. Or, man, I got this little cold holding me down, but it ain't going to stay around long. Because their mindset is such that it's positive, and it's going to respond that way. And the body will start to respond and say, we got to get well, but here's what we need. But then you have those people who just always seem sick. They just can't get healthy. Say, man, this cold and got me again. I don't know if I'm going to ever feel better. And the subconscious mind will say, okay, we will do everything we can not to feel better. And so it's amazing that a lot of times what we tell ourselves, our self-talk, can be extremely detrimental to our health. And so to keep a layer of positivity within life and try to look at the best out of life and try to get the best out of the day. You have the worst day, but you try to get the best out of the day. That's why it's not good to say I had a bad day. Because your subconscious will say bad, okay, we'll keep things bad. But you can say I had a challenging day. And a challenge is something that your body and your mind, because you have a competitive nature. I don't care how competitive you are or not, but if you challenge yourself on any level, you want to overcome that challenge. And so say I had a challenging day, or I had a growing day. And sometimes it's hard, trust me, because days happen. But we have to figure out the best in the day. We have to try to figure out how to make the best out of the day. And when you do that, tomorrow, start off a little bit better. So the subconscious mind and the people that we keep, excuse me, the people that we keep around us, the energy that we keep around us is extremely important. You have to watch the energy that's around you, because that can get inside of you. People's issues, people's problems can get inside of you. Stress gets inside of you. I mean, we have so many things that are combating us on a day-to-day basis that if we don't find and harness the parts that we can really control, then everything breaks down from there. And so I see so many people having to have surgery, and so many people going through stress and going through life. You know, people are losing children. We have the U.S. is, I think, number 9 in mortality, which means more children are dying before they're born or as soon as they're born, because a lot of the stress that the parents are under, or because of the lack of nutrition that the parents have. I mean, it's rough. And so we have to have a balance spiritually, however you do that, whatever your belief system is, the energy that you keep around you, you want to keep it positive. the mindset that you keep, the self-talk, which is amazing because we can sabotage ourselves just to ourselves, the things that we say to ourselves or the feelings of inadequacy. We can really hurt ourselves. And so that's extremely important. And personal development is a huge thing because it will help you see things through a different light, to understand that things just happen sometimes. And really what it is, the reason why it's happening, one, a lot of times it can be because of our thoughts. But two, it can be because it's a test. It's a trial. It's part of your journey. And if you don't have a big enough journey that you're walking on, then everything that happens takes away from that because you're not really connected to something that's great enough to say, you know what, this thing is not going to keep me down because I have to get to this destination. Same thing with pregnancy. Mothers have to look at it like, whatever I need to do to make sure that I stay healthy is what I'm going to do. And when you have those crazy cravings and you know you're eating food that you shouldn't eat, it's not healthy. But it's been accepted for so long that we don't even pay attention to it. And that's the thing about negativity. That's the thing about energy. Negativity and energy and a lot of that stuff has been accepted for so long. Stress has been accepted for so long that we just think it's part of life. Getting old. Oh, you're getting old now. These things are starting to happen. It's just old age and we just accept it. But it doesn't have to be that way. And so it's up to us to really just step back and take a look at us and say, man, what is it that we can do different? Because we're not getting a good result with what we currently are doing. What is it that we can help our children do? Or what lifestyle can we create for our children? And don't worry about them getting mad. Oh, so you trying to tell me I can't have Pop-Tarts no more? Are you trying to tell me I can't have this or that no more? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We learn. When we learn better, or we know better, we do better. Oh, man, I wanted that. I can't go to McDonald's no more. No. You know, we have to step up when we realize something has changed or when we realize something isn't right. We have to step up and be the ones to put our foot down. Because then, like Time Magazine and National Geographic did that big study, and they said that this is the first generation of people who are going to be burying their children because of the state of the health in the world, but more importantly, in this country. And so we have to step up and do the right thing. And if you don't know what the right thing is, don't do the same things you've currently been doing that's not gotten you the results that you want. Sometimes we don't know the right thing. Sometimes we don't know what we don't know. But we do know that what we've been doing hasn't been conducive to where we're trying to go. So we covered a little bit in some areas. We covered a lot in some areas. But at the end of the day, it's all about taking yourself seriously, taking your life seriously, taking your health seriously. That's what it boils down to. And when you do that, whether or not you are at the age where you can have children, if you have taken your health seriously, when you get pregnant, your body will be ready. If you're a little bit older in age and you take your health seriously, you don't have to worry about those little medications popping up here or there. And then before you know it, you're on 7, 8, 10, 12, 15 medications a day. If you take your health seriously now and you start by making some small changes, or just start by doing the things that you know aren't right, you can add 10 healthful years to your life. If you just cut out fried food, if you're gluten intolerant and you cut out gluten, how do I know if I'm gluten intolerant or not? If you suffer from asthma, eczema, constipation, or diarrhea, likely you're gluten intolerant. Things out for about 2 weeks and watch how your health starts to change. Watch how the fatigue will go away. Watch how your skin will clear up. If you have issues with acid reflux or GERD or any of those things, start salting your food instead of not salting your food. Start taking digestive enzymes. Stop drinking carbonated drinks during meals. Because when you drink sodas or carbonated drinks or even alkaline drinks during meals, you neutralize your stomach acid, which takes away the ability for you to be able to digest your food. So there's a lot of things that we know aren't right that we continue to do. And that all goes back to your mind and what you tell yourself every day. And so we have to treat ourselves like we would treat our children. That newborn baby that just came home from the hospital when it's your first child. You wash off every single thing. You wash every single thing. Can't nobody breathe on them. Can't nobody touch them. Can't nobody do this. Can't nobody do that. We need to have that all the time with ourselves, with our children, with the people we take care of. And then things will start to change. But we just self-destructing every single day, more and more. So I wanted to take this time that if anybody had a question, if anybody wanted to make a comment, just let me know and I'll answer it for you. If you're on the radio side and you have a question, press 1 and we'll take your question and we can answer it for you. You need a list of the 60 nutrients of what we need, positive thoughts, and wonderful life. Absolutely. And I'm going to make sure that you get those. I'll make sure you get that list. I know I sent you some videos, but I'll definitely make sure you get that list. And, you know, use me as a resource. Seriously. You know, I've been put into this passion and this purpose due to the death of my mother of cancer. It wasn't just that as much, but when I look back at it, she died at 55. She died at 57 of cancer. She had a sister die at 55 of a stroke. She had another sister die at 56 of a heart attack. So the oldest person on my mother's side of the family is a cousin who's in her 60s. And when she made it to her 60s, she was just so happy and so glad that she outlived her mother and her aunts. You know, that's an amazing thing. And then also for my son, who's healthy, wonderful, nothing's wrong with him, but happened to be born with 3 fingers on his left hand. Why? Because we didn't know what we didn't know. And so I just want to make sure that I can save a child or save somebody with cancer, because my mother told me, don't let this ever happen to anybody else. And I just said, okay. And then that purpose and that passion and that fire started burning inside of me, and we get to this. So since 2011, I've been on this mission, and it's not going to stop. So if you have questions, you can call me at 919-599-0916. If there's, you can send a message on Facebook Live. You can inbox me at Donald Snowden. I mean, any way you need to reach me, whatever's comfortable for you, let's talk about it. And I have so many other people. We have a great team of people who are ready and willing and able to help. And they will make sure that you get through and get what you need, because the results are there. The testimonies are there. It's just getting you back to ground zero and then letting you build from there. But you got to make that first commitment. So, with that being said, we're right up at 8 o'clock. I appreciate everybody showing up again this week. We're going to be back again next week with another exciting topic. Look for it throughout the week. You'll see me post about, you know, what we're going to talk about. If you have a topic, if you have something that's going on in your family, if you have something that you want addressed, inbox me and say, hey, man, you know, can you talk about this, or can you shed a little bit more light on that? Because this platform is for us. Now, I can get in here and speak every week, and it won't bother me if one person joins or if 100 people join. But if at the end of the day, somebody said, you know what, I got value out of that, I've done my job. So this is my mission. This is my purpose. I'm going to be here. I love you all. I appreciate everybody reaching out. I appreciate the support. I appreciate all of it. And we just need to, again, just take a step back and challenge ourselves to look at ourselves differently. Look at your passion. Look at the things that you want to do in life. And take that and let that be your driving force. If you do it for your children, wonderful. If you do it because you want to reach a certain place, wonderful. But have something that's bigger than yourself that's going to keep you disciplined. And let's come back here next week for another amazing topic. Also, Health Talk Magazine is out. We had a new subscription come out, and that's a wonderful subscription. If you see that floating around on my page or somebody's Facebook page, Health Talk Magazine, it's a wonderful platform for the magazine. We have a wonderful, amazing cover story. Young lady that's on the cover is just, man, if you get a chance to read that story and you watch somebody that's gone through homelessness and cancer and divorce and all these things at one time, and now is triumph, now is moving upward in life and back like she never left, but with a blaze. I mean, to see people with that kind of passion and that kind of inspiration, it makes you figure out, like, what am I doing having a bad day? What am I doing even saying I'm having a bad day? So many people are going through things that is just wow. And then you reevaluate yourself. And I'm not saying that somebody else's issues should take precedence over yours. But what I'm saying is we all go through things. We all have things that happen to us. And a lot of things that happen to us don't happen to us. They happen for us. Because once you hear the testimonies of people who have gone through things like that young lady who's on our cover of Health Talk Magazine, or even some of the stories inside of the magazine, you'll understand that we have to endure. We have to keep pushing. We have to stay positive. Because for as long as we're here, we're going to be here. And when we're not, we won't know we're gone anyway. So let's make the best of it. Look forward to seeing y'all next week for another episode of Health Talk. I appreciate everybody. I love you all. Again, if you have a question, reach out to me. If you see this recording and you have any questions, share it. If you heard something today and you thought somebody should have heard this, make sure you share it with them. That's it. Just share it. I appreciate it. Help me help a lot of other people. And just by sharing it will do that for me. And it'll also do it for you. So thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. Good night.